Mijn vriend, een migrant. Migratie. Het roept veel beelden op. Vluchtelingen die op rubberbootjes in de Middellandse Zee hun leven riskeren. Expats en pakken die snel nog een koffie drinken tijdens de pauze. Of een gezin dat een B&B wil beginnen op het Franse platteland. Dit zijn allemaal heldere beelden waar mensen al een of andere mening over zullen hebben. Maar het zijn slechts nette hokjes waar mensen hun ideeën over migratie in kunnen steken. Maar soms is migratie ook iets anders. Iets dat rommeliger is. Soms zijn er veel motieven die mensen een ander land laten opzoeken. En vaak komt daar ook veel bij kijken. Soms is de grens tussen vluchteling en expat minder groot dan mensen denken. Er zijn veel mensen voor wie een normaal bestaan in het land van herkomst bijna onmogelijk is, maar die niet meteen in aanmerking komen voor een vluchtelingenstatus. Voor hun kan migratie een bijzonder lastige kwestie zijn. En zo is dit ook het geval voor het verhaal van mijn vriend, een migrant.
Hello. I prefer not to mention my name, but let me tell you a bit of my background. I'm 25 years old and I'm from Turkey. Before, I have lived in four different countries and currently I'm living in Luxembourg.
We know each other. We actually met around 5 years ago. Can you tell me how that went?
Yeah, so it was 2018. We met in Belgium. Because I did my Erasmus studies in Ghent University. And thanks to the literature department's help, we somehow get in contact. And you were helping me with settling down with the university's administration, kind of which courses to take and how is life in Ghent in general. And that's how we met.
Dus ik mocht mijn vriend wegreis maken in Ghent en op de universiteit. En we hadden er al bij al een goede tijd. Vervolgens kwam haar Erasmus ten einde en studeerde ze ook af. En koos mijn vriend om terug te keren naar België.
And why did you want to return and not stay in Turkey?
So one of the biggest reasons for me was, I think, political. In my country, I felt like I couldn't or was not able to express my ideas freely at the time. And it was something that is still ongoing. I felt like we lack democracy in Turkey. And I basically didn't feel free in my country. Also, there is the economical side of it.
Dus mijn vriend kwam naar Gent. En hoewel ze hier soms eenzaam was en lang niet alles perfect was, had ze het hier wel naar haar zin. En boven alles voelde ze zich hier veilig. En in die veilige omgeving in België ontdekte ze een kant van haarzelf die ze hiervoor nog niet ontdekt had. Namelijk dat ze biseksueel is. En dit gegeven bleek een grote impact te hebben op haar leven. Als biseksuele vrouw in Turkije loop je namelijk bepaalde risico's. De regering raadt zelfs aan om in de kast te blijven. Ze voelde zichzelf dus niet veilig in Turkije en als gevolg daarvan overwoog ze om asiel aan te vragen als vluchteling.
So, after my mom kind of threatened me not to sponsor my visa, I really felt bad. So, maybe, but applying for a refugee is like a last resort, right? It's not a good thing. I can tell you, it's not a game, it's not a joke, it's not something that you do every day. it's really something you have to think about it. So after this thing with my mother, I don't know, I wanted to look for it.
Zo luidde een teleurstellende interactie met haar familie tot de keuze om uit te zoeken of het haalbaar was om een vluchtelingenstatus aan te vragen in België.
And I from what I understood, I had to prove that I was in danger because of my family, because of the society, because of certain groups, you name it. And at the end, the stakes were just too high for me. And even though I didn't appreciate my family's behavior, I really couldn't see myself doing it, because from what I understood, for instance, in Belgium, I had to be in a prison for a month, then get a trial. This is the fastest way, kind of. And I just couldn't not, I wasn't in a position to not contact them for a month and explain why this is the situation. And that was very contradictory also from my perspective, because so I have to prove that my family is putting me in a dangerous position. This wasn't exactly the case. I wasn't like, you know, running for my life kind of way. But they were limiting me. They were, I wasn't able to be myself because of them, or I felt like I had to hide a part of me, a part of my lifestyle. Yeah, basically, I just couldn't be myself, but I wasn't in a dangerous position in terms of my life. So I thought that this is really not enough to apply for a refugee status. And also, I felt like it wasn't something right for me. I don't know. That was what I was feeling.
Dus nadat mijn vriend had besloten om geen asiel aan te vragen, zocht ze een andere weg naar de EU. En dat was een lange reis met veel obstakels. Die obstakels vormden een lange wirwar aan visa-aanvragen en administratieve rompslomp. En dat alles om kans te krijgen op gelijkheid. Mijn vriend wou werken in een land waar ze zich veilig voelt. En voor een loon wat haar kon voorzien in haar levensonderhoud.
Then my visa got rejected because I had already obtained a work permit during my Erasmus studies in Belgium. That was literally just a student job that I did less than a month in total. But that was the reason, that was the regulation in Belgium back at the time. I don't know if it's still the case. But even the officer told us not to appeal to this decision because it was final and I was just not eligible. Also, okay, and something very, very important for me, I felt like in Turkey, just doing a regular job and okay, let's be again mindful that I was a university student, meaning that I was part of the intellectual community somehow. But also I was working in the cafeteria in a warehouse just to support my studies, you know. And even with this basic money, I understood that I was able to pay rent. And I was able to survive with the groceries and everything. And that wasn't possible in Turkey. So for me, it was a really shocking reality that even even working in a warehouse, you could just be fine and survive. And in Turkey, it's just impossible to do that.
And how did that make you feel?
So, of course, it made me feel very bad, because if I was European, this would never happen, right? Like, and this is, this is something that, like, Europeans don't even think about it. Back at the time, I had a girlfriend, and for instance, she really didn't understand what was happening, and she stopped talking to me just because it was too much for her. I mean, I'm not judging anyone, and I'm not here to comment on anything about that, but still, from my perspective, it was really sad because it was something that I didn't have any power over, and I was somehow forced to leave the country and my life there, like everything I was trying to build, shattered in one letter. It's being a bit dramatic, but it's literally what happened. And I remember when I was going back, the stamp person in the airport, the person who stamps the passports, he told me, okay, so you are leaving just 2 days earlier than your expiration. What is the reason why you are doing that? Or, like, reminding me that this is the case. And I told him I was aware, and I didn't really understand why this was the case, because there is a reason why my expiration date was 2 days later and I was leaving earlier. So even in this situation, they keep, you know, questioning why I'm doing what I'm doing. So like, with them, with them, you can never be right, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, anyway, then after this experience, I went back to Turkey. It was really difficult. I was really lost. I didn't know what I was going to do next, because the next 1 year was planned as staying in Belgium, but all of a sudden now it's something completely different. So I was applying for many things, and I remember one day I was literally Googling, like, internships in Europe, very, very vague, very general, because I was just, like, looking for something.
Uiteindelijk vond mijn vriend dus een positie in Italië, waar ze een traineeship kon doen voor een Europese instelling. En dit leidde dan ook vervolgens tot een kans om te gaan werken in Luxemburg.
At the end, after I applied for a residence permit in Luxembourg, for a future period, I had to travel to Greece for a project. And that was somehow, for me, a part of my job, because I wanted to gain experience, and that project was about, like, talking young people's problems, like rental, prices, groceries, life in general, the struggles that we have been through. And I thought that as a non-European person who lived in Europe, I can bring a different perspective. So like, on top of the problems that comes with being a young person, meaning limited resources, I was also dealing with all these administrative and other things that comes with being a non-European. So the project was really interesting, and it was after my visa expired in Italy, but I was going for Luxembourg, meaning that it's also in Schengen area. Normally it was supposed to be working. So I talked to Italian authorities to get a visa for Greece, because it was in a future period. I didn't know if my Luxembourgish visa will arrive in time, because, you know, we talked about it. You never know. I was asking them to issue me a visa, and they told me they cannot do that because I was not going to travel from Italy, so I had to do it from Luxembourg. I was asking this request in a very timely manner, around 2 months before my travel plans, and I was ready to provide every document. But Yeah, basically they didn't want to do it, and I think it was an excuse from their side. And when I talked to some people from Turkey, they agreed, unfortunately, and they told me that Italian authorities, they don't prefer to issue visa because the people who ask for a visa for such things are certain people. So I think there was a bit racism involved. Okay, I was a bit fighting over the phone with the Italian authorities, but at the end I was again powerless, and I said, okay, I understand. So I seek other options, like what can I do? And they referred me to Luxembourgish authorities, and when I contacted Luxembourgish authorities, they told me that they don't issue a visa. God knows for why. I mean, yeah, so they don't issue visas. I had to contact Brussels. But you see how silly it is, because I'm not even in Luxembourg yet. Brussels, like Belgium, is another country. I'm in Italy asking for help, like to go to Greece. So the whole situation is a bit messed up. So okay, I tried to explain my situation once again to Belgian authorities, saying that, okay, look, this is the situation and I want to travel to Greece. And they just responded me with one sentence, something like, try to call us or something, like, or you can visit this website for more information. And at that point, I was so pissed off. I was like, I think I have to give up, like, because this situation was making me so stressful. I mean, all the visa situations made me stressful, but this one was, like, giving me the ick. And I remember I was crying because I was stuck with the administration this time. Like, at least before, I knew that I can, like, provide supporting documents. Or, like, I can, for example, if I don't have enough money, I can try to add money, you know, you can do something. But this time, I was absolutely stuck. So, the organization I was going to go there to work with, they contacted me and they told me, that was also something, you know, so ignorant, because they told me that if I want, I can apply from Turkey. I mean, that was, of course, obvious, but I was working in Italy and I was going to start a new job in Luxembourg. So, like, what time? I didn't have time to go back to Turkey, and I didn't have the money to go back to Turkey and then go back to Luxembourg again and then to Greece. That was, like, I don't know why they told me even. But, you know, so you see, they don't know, and they are just, like, passing the message of what they are told. And, yeah, at the end, I did everything I could do, really. And I also, like, talked to Luxembourgish authorities. And basically what they told me is, with my temporary authorization to stay, I can go to Greece with at my own risk, which I don't think that was the case. Like, I don't even think I was able to do that, because this temporary authorization to stay was only for Luxembourg, not for Schengen area. And it's temporary. I don't know. For me, it was like that. But anyway, they told me I can go, and if I come back, maybe they will not let me in. So just like that, you know, they don't even care anymore, like, because they have to deal with so many people. And again, like, telling you this is a personal story, right? Maybe not the worst of all, but still so annoying to experience this. And yeah, basically, it was the same case, by the way, with neighboring countries. Like, I couldn't go to Belgium, I couldn't go to France, I couldn't go to Germany while waiting for this permit to be issued with the card. Meanwhile, Luxembourg has like maybe half of their population commuting from these countries every day. But I cannot just go. I mean, I can go, but maybe if I meet an officer that is like not in the mood that day, they will not let me in, and maybe I will end up in prison. Who knows? That is really sometimes the case, because I remember when I was in my appointment in, again, Luxembourgish authorities, I forgot to bring my letter, but I had the letter. And guess where the letter comes from their system, right? So, I forgot to bring this letter. Maybe it didn't arrive to me. I don't even remember. And I told them I had this information that I had to take an appointment to get my permit, but I don't have the letter. And they told me that, okay, today I'm feeling good, so I will let you in. But normally you shouldn't forget this. So, yeah, just like that, my whole life, I mean, okay, I'm being dramatic again, maybe, but just like that, like, the decision lays within one person, and this person can, like, what does it mean? This person can decide if they want to let you in or not. And am I the only one who they treat like this? What does it mean for some other people? And it makes me think about things. I guess we can conclude with European administration doesn't work well in a very light sense.
Dus ja, als ik terugdenk aan onze tijd in Gent 5 jaar geleden, toen we nog in dezelfde klasse zaten, voelt het allemaal heel oneerlijk. Mijn vriend moest op elk moment harder werken dan ik voor hetzelfde en moest het constant doen met minder informatie en middelen. Mijn vriend moest bergen verzetten om gelijk behandeld te worden. En wanneer je dat vergelijkt met andere migranten van buiten de EU, dan heeft ze nog geluk gehad. Kortom, mijn mening na al die omzwervingen van mijn vriend, is dat het oneerlijk is.
So that's about my story. I really forgot that it was so stressful, because after it passes, you really don't even want to think about it. Like, you forget how you did it. The first time I applied for a visa, I thought that I would never forget what I was doing, like the steps, the documents, everything, because it was like it became my full-time job after some point, really. Like, I knew everything about it. I felt like I could advise other people, like I could do this for a job. And I thought I would never, never forget it. But now, like, I don't even remember. I mean, I remember, of course, but I don't remember the details anymore. And I think the more I do it, every time it's stressful, so I just, like, don't think about these and delete them from my mind.